Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, our conversation with Mike Lombardi is sponsored by Town Fair Tire and by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline. We welcome you into COVID-19 Friday here on OMF. How are you?
I'm good, and I have not tested positive, so I'm doing even better than ever.
Are you high risk by any chance? Are you not,
you're good? You're not shopping or anything, are you?
You're trying to say I'm old, right? Yeah, of course I'm high.
No,
I'm old,
no. I mean,
all us old fat guys are high risk.
You know? Yeah, I hear it every day from these guys, Mike. Yep, every single day. So you tell me, advantage, disadvantage. The Denver Broncos last played a week ago Thursday, right? They played Thursday a week ago. The New England Patriots have yet to have a single practice. Thank God they get the game moved to Monday. Bill Belichick will put him out in the field for the first time tomorrow. What does that all mean?
Well, you know, I mean, look, their execution has been pretty good in terms of their ability to run block, their ability to pass protect, their tackling. So they got to get back on that again. And then they've got to be able to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback and how that's all going to transpire in terms of, you know, who's going to play and who's going to get the reps. And they've got to brush themselves up Saturday and Sunday for the game Monday night. So, you know, I think, to be honest with you, I think that the long trip to Kansas City, that exhausting day they had, they probably were only going to practice on Thursday and Friday. So now they get Saturday and Sunday practices. It's just different. And they're rested now.
Mike, so I'm just going to go back because, you know, we've been playing a lot of Bill sound and he was not in a good mood. And, you know, I can easily understand why. And then, and based on the travel, requested to have a bigger locker room, more space in Kansas City. And I know how small that locker room is, the visiting locker room is in Kansas City. And their request was denied. I mean, don't you think it's a tad bit hypocritical for the league to send the Patriots out there on two separate planes, make all these, changes in order to get them out there safely, and then stick them in a tiny-ass locker room? It almost defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, look, you know, I, New England, I'm sure when Denver comes here, they're not going to just be in the visiting locker room at the stadium. I'm sure they're going to use more than one locker room, and they should. You know, I mean, they should, just like the Patriots are using more than one locker room. And, you know, you've played in Seattle. I mean, you played in Kansas City. That locker room is small, but pre-COVID.
Who makes that decision? Who's in charge of that? Can Bill go to Andy Reid and say, hey, could you help us out? Or is that completely out of both their hands?
I think everything's being run by the league. I really do. And the league, it just shows you how they don't realize. Like, they probably didn't even inspect that locker room to see if it was that tight. Now, I wouldn't be surprised the next team that plays in Kansas City, there might be more room. I mean, you got to give them more room. And they have all those meeting rooms that they use down there for the, you know, because they used to have the facility in the stadium. They built the facility outside of where the parking lot was. So, you know, I think they've got to be, you know, they've got to do a better job of separating the players on game day. And then they want to get mad at players talking after the game. But heck, you've had all the players. I mean, that locker room, is it safe pre-COVID? It's so ridiculous.
So, Mike, Cam Newton, right? We all know there's a couple different ways you can return. 5 days, two negative tests, 24 hours apart. But there's also a second scenario in which it's just, even if he remains positive, the league has this as their protocol. You have to wait 10 days from the positive test. So, technically, he could play on Monday night no matter what, even if he's still positive because it's no longer contagious according to CDC. Does Cam Newton play Monday night?
Unless I think Cam Newton doesn't have a positive test, I can't see him not playing. You know, I mean, if he has a positive test, I could see him, you know, obviously he's going to not play. But if he's negative for 3 days in a row, I see him playing.
So let me ask you this. Let's just say, hypothetically, he doesn't play. Given what you saw last week, because all I kept hearing with Brian Hoyer, at least he'll be able to manage the game, he won't make the mistakes. How do you put Brian Hoyer back out there here on Monday night? Is he the quarterback?
I don't think they would put him back in. I think that decision was made in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, and Brian, and they did everything in their power to protect Brian. And I talked about it last Friday. You know, Brian's good from the 20 to the 20. Not that he's great. But when he gets in the red zone, for some reason, he just behaves differently. And I can't explain it. It's been as part of his career. And he does things in the red area that's not conducive to what you need. And so and that proved to be absolutely correct. The Patriots were in control of that game. They had every reason to win that game, and yet they couldn't finish anything in the red zone. So, you know, for me, I think it's easy. I think they're going to go back to they're going to go with Stidham. Now, Stidham, in fairness, Stidham had no practice. He had the injury, so he's missed so much time. I think that's why Hoyer got the start.
I hate to say it because we love Tom Brady dearly, but I thought that was Brian Hoyer last night in a Tampa Bay Bucs uniform at the end. Not sure of what down it was. But we've talked a lot about this. Is this a real problem for Tom Brady, Mike, in that he's a guy who's been in a culture, in a system that is extremely disciplined, that everybody's on the same page? If you screw up, it is a problem. There are no error repeaters allowed. He's now in a system where you can see it. He's vocal. He's screaming at guys, dumb, stupid penalties. And the coaching staff kind of and has allowed a culture in which these guys can get away with it. Is this a real issue now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
You know, I've said it before. I mean, I think most players that leave New England, they leave and say, thank God, I don't have to deal with it anymore. And then after a month at new place, they crave to go back. They think every team does all the things that New England does. They just do it in a nicer, kinder, gentler tone. And in reality, you know, not very many teams do what New England does to practice it. Now, look, New England's game management on Monday was atrocious, and I think Coach Belichick would be the first to tell you that, you know, because you've got to be honest with yourself. But not all the teams have the attention to detail that New England has. I mean, look, they start the drive. Let's go back up that game just last night. They get the horrible false start, which should have been called offsides, which it wasn't, right? That they give up a touchdown there. It should have been 3rd and 17. Ends up being 3rd and 7. They convert it. All right, so they get a touchdown there. They come back out. Now there's under 2 minutes to go in the half. They start there. Now it's the perfect example of how to control the 2 minutes. So what do? They come out and they throw an incomplete pass. If he were in New England, that would have been either a controlled pass or a run to start the clock. Because the clock right there, when you get on that field with a minute 30 or 40 to go, the clock's your enemy. It's not your friend. You got to take some time off that clock, because if you have to punt, you don't want to give them another at bat. But yet, what do they do? They throw 3 incomplete passes, and then one of those incomplete passes turns into a completion that's fumbled, and now they're down 14-13, of which the Bears did really nothing in the first half.
Nothing.
So I'm not sure how you felt about Josh Allen in the beginning as a rookie, first year, second year. I'm assuming you were with me. I hated him. I thought he was an actor. I thought he was a disaster. I even watched him at Wyoming. But now it seems like he's kind of figured it out. Where do you stand with your analysis of Josh Allen? Is this is he reached a ceiling, or is the best yet to come?
Well, his accuracy has befuddled me. I mean, because he was so inaccurate at Wyoming. He was so inaccurate his first 2 years. And there's moments where he's inaccurate, but I think they've done it this year. But they've done a good job of camouflaging. And Diggs has done a good job of getting the ball for him. And I think he's playing at the highest level he can play at. And I think he's playing really well. The question I had about the Bills all year was Josh Allen's accuracy. Could he deliver could he throw the ball when under pressure with accuracy? I didn't think he could. So far, he's proven me wrong.
So can he keep it up? Because you kind of, I kind of feel like it's a ticking time bomb, and it's bound to blow up.
I'm thinking that under pressure, it could definitely blow up. But right now, I got to go with what I see, and so far, he's played really well.
So he sold you. So you're a believer then. You're on the Josh Allen train.
I'm not on the train yet, but I'm at the station. And my bags are
thinking about it.
I haven't gotten on it yet.
Mike, I want to get back to this whole COVID issue in the NFL. I'm just curious your thoughts on, you know, postponing games, you know, whether extending the season, cutting the season short, opening up some weeks. Like, where are you? Is the league on top of this thing, or are they just sort of flying in the seat of their pants right now?
No, I think they're right on top of it. I mean, they've done a good job. I mean, look, the Tennessee thing is just, to me, I think Tennessee's going to lose something. They're going to lose draft picks. I mean, if they take away draft picks for a stupid football, I mean, you know, that never really was proven. How can't they take away the draft picks for this? For their behavior. I mean, really. I mean, where is the justice here? So I think they are on top of it. I think there's a lot of things that the league office never knows because they really don't know anything about football, you know, like the locker room in Kansas City. You know, who would have thought of that, you know? And you need to have somebody that does that. But I don't know what's the answer. I know that they've extended the season in terms of Tampa Bay. They've got hotels all the way through the end of February in case they need to extend the season. Now, I think they thought that in case we needed to take a break or two, you know, to postpone a game and then restart again, but not because of one team. How do you make up one team? That's the bigger issue. And I think if they can't play this week, if they can't play this Tuesday night, I mean, it's going to be bad. They're going to move that Thursday to Sunday. So I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well, I think that's the question too, right? With some of the, once you get past the bye weeks and, you know, you have three or four guys on a team, say, on a Friday or Saturday. It's, you know, do you play on Sunday? Do you just postpone it? Where do you try to fit it? And that's, I think some people have talked about maybe reducing the season, the games, open up weeks, or just having a week 18, week 19, because eventually it's going to just catch up. It's not like baseball. We can just keep playing doubleheaders.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think, and that's what's going to happen. You know, so I think, at some point this is going to run out, but they got to get back on track, Tennessee, and they got to be able to stay on track. But I hate to think that, you know, they're going to forfeit a game, or I hate to think that they're only going to go by the winning percentage. I hate to think some team's going to get rewarded for a win when they never earned it. And then you got the whole issue about players getting paid. I mean, why should a player on a team that's been compliant lose a game check because somebody in Tennessee wasn't?
Yeah.
So, Mike, you mentioned the discipline errors that the Patriots made the other night. But overall, when you look at the defense against the highest powered offense in the National Football League, they limit them to 19 points. They do it with 6-7 and at times 8 DBs out there. They had answers for Patrick Mahomes. Do you come out of that game saying, this New England defense could be pretty good?
I was really impressed by the fact that they held up in the running game with the small defensive players on the I thought they played really physical. They played hard. You know, they let Mahomes out of pocket one time, but for the most part, they did a great job of rushing the passer, controlling the rush. You know, they were physical on the receivers. And remember, this is September football for New England. This is not their best football that they're going to play. And so for me, leaving the stadium, you know, other than shooting themselves in the foot, dropping interceptions, getting a horrible call by Corrente, not in their favor, I thought they played well. It's something to build on. Now, it's not perfect. They got to keep getting better, and they got to get better in October. They got to get better in November, and they definitely got to get better in December. But there were positive signs out there that this team can come together and compete, you know, and really do a good job against the premier offense.
Hey, Mike, were you surprised that Bill O'Brien was fired so early in the season?
Yeah, I was. But then when you watch their team play, you can't be. They play with no effort. They were lackluster. They didn't have his personality. We all know Billy. Billy's a fiery guy, you know, and he gets after it. The team played lethargic. And look, their $40 million a year player, who I love, Deshaun Watson, hasn't played well. I mean, you know, they're one way you measure a team's effectiveness in terms of execution. Because remember, when you're evaluating football teams, you're truly like a veterinarian. You can't, the patient doesn't talk to you. So you have to have some form of ways to evaluate your fundamentals, your techniques, without just the naked eye, because you could lie to yourself. And one of the areas you do that is in with rushes and completions. So if you take the rushing attempts and add it to the completed passes, you come up with a number. anything over 53 is really good. Anything below 48 on defense is really good. The Houston Texans were the worst team in rushes and completion on offense. They were the 31st worst team on defense. They have zero execution. And when that happens, there's only one person to look at. That's the coach.
And when you look at the future draft picks and the situation there, like, I don't know how you feel, Jack Easterby running everything, but I find it hard to believe that the Houston Texans would want to bring another Patriot offensive coordinator in there as their head coach after what happened with Bill O'Brien, meaning Josh McDaniels.
Well, they're different people, and I don't know if you can make that generalization. They are different people, and Josh is different than Billy, and Josh, I don't think, wants to come in and run an entire organization. But I think the bigger challenge is it isn't that they don't have draft picks. It's getting the players that they have to play really well. And who can do that? And you've got a $40 million investment per year in Deshaun Watson. You better make damn sure someone's coaching him that knows what the hell he's doing and can get the best out of him. That's going to be really critical because that's where your investment lies.
Yep.
And one more on the Texans situation, because we know how you came up in the through organizations in football. Jack Easterby has done it a totally different way. Can you explain what the attraction is there with Easterby? Because I almost get the feeling this past week with him taking control, there's a lot of snickering going on behind closed doors in the NFL.
Well, I think we've seen this in the National Football League. I mean, I started 35 years ago, and unless you really understood the game internally, the X's and O's, the scheme, as Al Davis used to tell me, kid, you better know players and plays, then you better know it all. You're not going to advance. And I think what we've seen in the National Football League is there's more managers, more leader levels. I mean, it's all through the league. I mean, you don't have to have a background in football to run a team. I think it's pretty obvious. I think you can see it. It's what I call the Dunning-Kruger effect in the National Football League, which means simply that there's people in charge that don't really know what they're doing. And they've got there because they got there because they're friends with the owners, or they talk to the owner, or somehow. You know, we see it in sports all the time. I mean, at the Knicks, they're the perfect example of the Dunning-Kruger effect in James Dolan. Actually, in all honesty, Jerry Jones, the Dunning-Kruger effect down in Dallas. It happens all over the league, you know, and they think they know. Because, you know, if I can scout a player, that guy's a good guy. You know, they're bench Dwayne Haskins. People are outraged to bench Dwayne Haskins. Well, the people that are outraged, do you realize the guy who scouted him that thought he was a good player is Dan Snyder? You want to be in Dan Snyder's scouting club? I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be a member of that club. So it doesn't surprise me who's running NFL teams anymore, because it's not based on how much football you know. It's based on who you know.
Relationships, relationships, relationships. All right, Mike.
Thanks, talk to you
next week. Have a good week.
Bye, Mike.
See you.
Thanks, guys. Maybe next week we won't have a Monday nighter. Good luck. Thank you.
Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
Mike Lombardi right there on the Harbor One Hotline.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, back here on OMF, the Patriots have just released their injury report. You say, wait a minute, injury report? How can you put an injury report when you didn't practice? Well, did not participate. How many players do you think did not participate?
53.
That's right, 53 did not participate. But they had to do a projection because the league requires you to do a projection. So here's what would have happened had they been able to practice today. Limited availability.
That's crazy.
This is what they're doing. Adam Butler, Julian Edelman, Shaq Mason, and Isaiah Wynn. There you go, Isaiah Wynn. Now, the Denver Broncos, who are practicing and have had plenty of time to practice, limited ability was Joseph Jones with a knee. Drew Lock with the right shoulder. He did practice today. The
Also looks like
the outside linebacker, Atauchu, Jeremiah Atauchu. Is that how you pronounce his name?
God bless you, yeah.
Whatever. He did not participate. Bellamy, the running back, did not participate. Noah Fant with the ankle not only did not participate, but Vic Fangio said he's headed in the wrong direction.
Ooh,
so he kind of gave you a hint.
I think the big one, obviously, is the quarterback.
You know, the quarterback, whether Drew Lock is going to play.
You get
game.
Your quarterback back.
Yes.
And Phillip Lindsay with, you know, granted, it's going to be a lot of Melvin Gordon still. He usually is, even with Lindsay there, just sparingly. But, yeah, they got their quarterback back.
So there's your projected injury report for the Patriots.
If they did have practice. There's your make-believe injury report.
I would have loved if they said did not participate and Bill listed every single player
individual.
On his roster.
See, that's
every
passive-aggressive
single
Bill.
Player in his roster did not participate.
That I like.
That would have been fun.
So we all made fun last week of anybody who was trying to take a moral victory lap on Monday with losing to Kansas City, even though we all knew they were going to lose to Kansas City. And I'm looking around at people and they're, you know, putting their power rankings together. And Tommy Curran, who I think has been critical when it comes to the team, very highly positive when it comes to Tom Brady, especially with Tampa Bay. But he's been critical. He moved them up on the list this week to number 7.
Moved them up.
Moved them up. The
after
Patriots.
After a loss.
The Patriots, after a loss, to number 7. Now, is he doing so? And that in his mind, he looks at it and says, if they had Cam Newton, maybe they would have won that game. So he's got them ahead of the 3-0 Steelers, the 3-0 Titans, the 2-2 Saints, the 3-1 Chargers, 3-1 Colts, 3-1 Browns, 2-2 49ers, and now the, what are they, the 4-1 Chicago Bears.
You know, that's called the the benefit of the doubt theory. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, even though they lost. Even though they lost, I'm going to put them ahead of other teams that have a better record. This seems like the way they used to, you know, vote for the best team in college football. I didn't even see them play, but I know Notre Dame's always been pretty good, so I'll vote them number 1.
Can you guys remember, because I don't want to say something that isn't accurate, but I thought Tommy Curran had them, like, in the teens, somewhere around 14 or 15. And
the past 3 weeks, it went from 12, 9 to 7, and 7 again this week. So it remains a top 7.
Well, I think he's, you know, Cam Newton has factored into all of that for him. You know, and
even when he didn't play.
Right. No, yeah. Well, yes, because it would have, you know, if he did play, you play that game.
Right.
But I think ESPN, I just looked, they had him at 10 going into this week. I kind of think that's who they are. Like, you know, 12, 13, 14, I don't know, in that range, because it's just there are a lot of bad football teams, but I'm sorry. You can say fraudulent all you want. Bears are 4-1. I think the Browns are better. I think the Colts are better. So, you know, the Bucks, I don't know, 3-2? I still think they're a better football team. They make a lot of stupid mistakes.
But when the season's over, If you're 9-7 and the Steelers are 9-7 or the Titans are 10-6 or whatever, something like that, really, what is the biggest difference? I mean, I think you're going to have a lot of middle of the road type teams that are good, not great, not elite, because there's only a couple elite teams that have that check every single box, and it's just a matter of kind of putting it all together 3 weeks in a row. But you're going to have some teams like the Steelers, like the Titans, like the Patriots, who are well coached, who have good quarterbacks that are vets or just an overall good system, and they will sneak up on you and prep for one game, and they will upset you. So
in the playoffs,
like Tennessee did, they were well coached, they were motivated, and they kind of bought into the whole game plan. They knew who they were as a team.
I don't like power rankings because I know you do it week to week how you feel about that team this week, right? Next week, whatever. I would rather just do the rankings, like who can still win the Super Bowl, like just who can still win it.
That would only be four teams,
and then it would be like okay, who has a chance? Like AFC, who's on the NFC. Fringe. Yeah, like do almost like that.
I'll do it right now.
Because how do you sit there and say, like, this team's the 29th, this team's the 26th, this team's the 18th, this team's the 16th? It's like,
So the top.
Do you believe in them or not? Do you believe in the New England Patriots? They're 2-2. Do you believe in them?
How about a bold prediction?
Well, I'm just saying, do you?
Well, you tell me.
Are they still a Super Bowl contender?
Your top four teams.
Because if they're seventh, they are.
The top four teams right now, forget about, what you thought was going to happen. Based on what you've seen. The top four teams that can win the Super Bowl.
Right now?
Yeah.
Kansas City?
Yep.
Seattle, Green Bay?
Sure.
In the AFC? I think that's tough to do. I would leave those four. Then I'll go fringe. Yeah. And then maybe, Buffalo, Baltimore, yeah. Pittsburgh. I would throw those teams in there and leave them alone. You know what I mean? That would be a separate category. They're done. And then after that, you can look at, Rams, San Fran. You could throw in the next category: Patriots, Colts, Tennessee.
I would put them in that third. I would put them in that third tier. Your Lou Maloney's third tier.
Yeah, I believe 5-6 teams.
Yeah, they're a playoff team.
But after the top eight or so, I would put them in that at a category of six teams. You know what I mean?
I think Christian is onto something because even the Green Bay Packers, and I look at it, they've scored 152 points and have only had 101 against. That's a differential of 51, number one in the league. Yet. I'm not going to sit here and tell you after 4 weeks being 4-0 that I think they're definitely a Super Bowl contender. There's a long way to go, and they've got some holes on both sides of the ball with that team. They got a great quarterback. We know that. I think there's a long way to go. I think it's easy right now to eliminate a bunch of teams, right? You can do that and say they have zero chance. But I think Christian's right. You could get a lower seed, could be peaking at the end of the year, and could knock off a team like the Green Bay Packers when you get into the
I actually think that's a better experiment, as far as instead of going, let's go backwards. Let's get rid of the Jets. Let's get rid of the Houston Texans. Let's get rid of the Dolphins. Let's get rid of the Giants.
Get rid of about 10 teams.
Yeah. Yep. Just knock them out all together.
Yeah.
Because their main role is playing spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
Isn't
they
that
need
amazing
to do.
When you look at the NFC East? Three teams, the Eagles are 1-2-1. They are in first place. Washington and Dallas are 1-3. And the Giants
would you put
are
Dallas?
Four.
Would you put Dallas and Dunsky?
No.
No, I would not put them quite in Dunsky.
They're half game out of first.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That division sucks.
Yeah, but they're half a game out of last place.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. So they just benched the Washington team, just benched Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
So this is the way we're this
what
is
do
the
you
life
think?
We're
the
living.
Owner, the owner made a call. The owner made a call and said, look, this kid can't do it. We got to get him out of here. This kid can't do it. He just can't do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the Cowboys, for example, is a team. I don't know. Van Der Esch, he's coming back soon, right? I think they're getting
I don't know
back.
When he's coming back.
So, I mean, defensively, can they improve at all? They still have a very good offense. They could still be the best team in that division. It could be a scary 7-9 going into the playoffs. They could. If their defense can, somehow figure it out.
I think
I don't know where the improvement is. I don't know if one guy makes that much of a difference.
Can they get better? But can they be a good defense? I'm not sure they're going to ever be a good defense this year. I'm not sure that's possible. They've already given up 146 points in four games. All right, 617-779-7937. The Patriots will play, at least we think they will, Monday at 5:05. Is it possible that Cam Newton comes back in that game? Looks like Gilmore probably will be out. We'll get to more of that coming up next right here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And of course, he's an analytical guy. You're not. You're a football guy. Your
I have a little bit of analyticalness to me. New words.
Make them up.
New words are good.
Analytical in you?
Analyticalness. Analyticalness.
So put your hockey cap on right now, Fourier.
Okay. Hold on. It's pretty big because I have so much knowledge. I have a really big thinking cap when it comes to hockey stuff.
It's got a big goalie stick. Yeah, here's the thing.
I tend to forget a lot because I've learned so much. So if it takes me a second.
I can understand that. Okay. I can understand it. Where's you at? Joe Haggerty tweeting this out just moments ago. Don Sweeney was scheduled to speak with the media on Zoom at 5 p.m. There has been a postponement to an undetermined time later on tonight. Stay tuned, Bees fans. Ooh, there's a tease.
What is that supposed to mean? Oh, no, let's analyze it. Oh, you want me to find out what the problem is?
Yeah,
find out what's going on.
Their network system went down. They don't have any internet.
Big free agent signing?
No internet.
They want to announce a free agent signing?
Yeah.
Free agency, you know, right now. We know
So Greg Hill goes on the radio this morning and spent more quality time, apparently, with Tuukka Rask. He had a conversation with him yesterday and kind of got to the bottom of all this.
What he asked me to share with everybody is he kind of said the same thing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter got very sick. Wife called and said she was sick. Mm-hmm. And I decided my obligation as a father was to go home. What he said to me yesterday was that there was virtually zero chance that he is not playing for the Bruins next season.
Really?
Zero chance he's not playing.
Yes. He expects to be able to, as he said, to be able to be here for an extended period of time in the future, and then to pass the torch.
Oh.
He used the phrase, pass the torch to whoever is next.
Pass the torch.
Yeah. I don't buy it.
Could have said the torch.
Are we done analyzing whether we think he's telling the truth as far as why he had to leave? Are we done with that? Do we take him at his word?
Well, you have to. What else? You have no other evidence that it didn't happen. I saw the Herald piece today with Steve Conroy, and he said he got a phone call from my wife and from my daughter, was in a state that she needed medical attention. She wasn't doing well. At that point, I had no choice but to go home. It's as simple as that. It's a pretty easy decision. What bothered me a little bit was people thinking that I just left because I didn't like it there. I'm not going to lie to you. The bubble was awful. But if I didn't have a reason to leave, I wouldn't have left. Obviously that, but my daughter's fine now and the family's good, and it did make me feel good.
Well, I don't think, you know, people question that, you know, but I think you did follow up with any thought of coming back, because we had heard that everything was fine at home. Like, whatever emergency that he had was fine at home. So
it was solved very quickly, within like 24, 48 hours.
Well, that's, yeah. I guess, but that's what I'm saying. That was like the report that everything is fine.
Yes.
And I think he made some kind of comment was that I still didn't feel like it was right to leave, you know, given what maybe had happened with his daughter. I don't know. I don't buy it. I think that everything that comes out of Boston is sort of like, nope, we're not moving. And when you hear Don Sweeney calling around asking about trades from Tuukka Rask, that comes from other markets because they don't really care, right? They don't really care about the PR. They don't really care about people in Boston. They're just saying, listen, all I can tell you is that the Bruins are calling us asking about Tuukka. So I think he's going to shop him, and I don't think Tuukka's going to be here next year.
Well,
I don't buy it.
So this is just another one of these, let me just pound the desk as hard as possible. So everyone kind of drops this storyline altogether. Because ultimately, it's not really up to him anyways.
I mean, how many times have we sat here and, like, on the trade deadline, we could go back and say, well, do you remember this quote? Remember that quote?
Yeah.
You know how much they loved it here, or how there's no way he'd be traded, or I'm not going anywhere, I'm not shopping this player, and the guy gets traded. Well, you know, things change. Yeah, you know, we got calls. It was a deal we thought we could make, and then
also, I mean, I don't buy it by him saying that, it kind of puts the burden on the Bruins. Hey guys, I told you there's no possible way I'm not going to be here. So if I end up leaving, it's not because I didn't want to stay. It's because they forced me out.
Right, I didn't want to leave.
I told you. So I guess Dale's in first position. Greg is in second position. When it comes to Tuca giving Dita, why does he come on a radio station and actually, you know, verbalize it, you know, instead of in print? Why doesn't he come on and say it?
With Greg?
Well, whoever.
Could do that.
Whoever. It doesn't matter. I mean, where's the fear there? It's your off season. You're at a golf tournament. You're doing other interviews. Like, why are you calling this guy? Hey, tell the boys that I'm good. Hey, Greg, can you send a message out to everybody for me? Tell them that I'm fine. I just want to make sure everybody knows this is how I'm feeling. To me, there's a red flag there. He's trying so hard to prove to everybody and get the word out that he's not going anywhere, or that he wants to say, I believe it's the exact opposite. I believe with you, I believe that he is going to get shopped. I believe that he does want to leave.
If you're Don Sweeney right now and you've got a player that only has 1 year left in his contract and he's getting a little bit up there in age, so already you're challenged with what kind of value are you getting in return for Tuukka Rask? Why would you in any way let the rest of the world know that you're not happy with him, that you weren't happy the way he dealt with in the bubble? You're not going to do any of that stuff, right? You're going to try to build the player up right now, and we're seeing some goalie movement. Henrik Lundqvist from the Rangers ended up, he's going to Washington. That means Holtby is going to be out there, so he's available. A guy, by the way, that plays great against the Bruins. So, I mean, there's going to be some movement with goalies out there, and maybe a team that needed one that gets left out, maybe that's where Sweeney picks up the phone. That's where he goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, there's so much, whether he earned it on his own or whether it was, you know, maybe it's not fair to pick on him so much. And I just feel like that's just the nature of the position and the nature of his personality.
Yeah, but I think it's more than that. There have been numerous times where, in a situation where he couldn't play because he had the flu. And again, it's very difficult. Because to sit here and question guys like you, come on, has he really got the flu or is this just BS? I know it is, but when you have numerous cases in big, huge games and big, huge situations, the public finally looks at it because all they care about is the laundry. They care about the W, and they're sitting there going, he missed another game? That's a problem.
See, I also do believe that there's some vagueness with his reasons why he left. There is.
And I don't like being specific about what the daughter had?
Well, I think it's just my own opinion, because you look and say, I got a phone call from my wife and my daughter was in a state that she needed medical attention. I don't like to sit there and judge a man of how he reacts emotionally with his kids. But there is a perception. We all just got to make up our own reasoning based on what we hear. So I sit there and go, does he think that the reason for why he have to, that, does he think that people will be even more critical of him for why he actually left? Like, the reason that he decided to leave, pertaining to his daughter, was a little bit, you know, overdramatic. It was a little overreaction. And I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because I feel like if I had to leave, I would say, hey, my son got diabetes. My son, like, broke his leg. My daughter's having a panic attack. I would sit there and I would tell you, and I wouldn't care if you. I do not care if you were judging me.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I would feel more comfortable not having people come up with their own idea of what went wrong because I was vague.
But aren't you kind of an a-hole when you sit there and somebody's telling you there was an issue,
yes,
medical issue with my with my daughter, and then you're sitting there, oh, come on, give me the details. I want to find out if it was really critical here or not.
Well, you think there's something to that, though? Because I think there's something to the way people feel about it. I mean, that's just reality of it.
Well, let me give you this quote. He said, and he's talking about returning to the bubble on possibly next year. He said, the whole thing was about the unknown, said Rask. It's different when you're going away for 2 weeks and you could tell your daughter that daddy's going to be home in 2 weeks. But if you're like, listen, I don't know when I'm going to be home. If that starts affecting her mental health or physical health, then I don't think it's good for anybody. That was that. So was that kind of it? Like, you know, the daughter was young, you know, and when's daddy come? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe in a week, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and it started affecting her mental health. So you're talking about, like, you know, what was the issue? I don't know. Listen, I mean, I think if anybody's, you know, got that phone call about your kid, you would go home. And then it was, if that's the case, if she's having, like, you know, mental health issues about her dad being away, is that what he's saying? After a day or two, she was fine? But now I got to tell my daughter, okay, now that you're good, I'm going to go back to the bubble that caused this stress to begin with. That's a tough decision.
It's a real difficult decision, and
I still don't think he's coming back, though.
And I don't either.
Oh, by the way, maybe the reason why Sweeney, postponed his conference, whatever it is, Pierre LeBrun reporting, the Bruins have agreed in a deal with Kevin Miller. Could be worth up to $2 million, depending on bonuses. Same Kevin Miller that hasn't played for the Bruins since April 2019 because he broke... broken kneecaps, right?
I was going to ask you, when's the last time he played?
$2 million, depending on bonuses. I hope that's like no money at all. No. All of it is bonuses. This guy hasn't played in like over a year and a half.
And he's a guy that last year you could look at and say they needed a big physical type of player like him, and he was not available. Yeah. I'm with you, though, and I think it's going to be very difficult because I think they're going through a kind of a transition here, and they're still going to have to go against Tampa Bay in their own division, and Toronto probably will be better. And you look at it and say, there's going to be the Bruins fan base out there is going to take everything out in Tuca now. He's going to be the guy they point at if the team doesn't do well.
It's always been like that, though.
Yeah.
Nobody's
picking on Bergeron. Let's put it that way. Nobody's blaming him.
No.
Okay.
We should probably start picking on him. People are picking on Chara.
Chara's agent says there's numerous teams checking in on the free agent. Is that I don't know. Maybe the Bruins don't want him back. I don't know, but it seems like an easier one if you want him back, right?
Yeah, but
he's looking for big dollars?
Yeah, he didn't make big bucks last year, so he's not going to get big bucks this year. But his agent may be looking at it saying, you know, here's a seasoned veteran. Maybe there's a team out there, and we've got calls that they need a mature presence, you know, in the locker room. And maybe that he's perfect for that.
Well, a first-pair guy, but, you know.
No, he's a second, third liner.
I mean, is he one of your six defensemen? I think you take it, depending on the mix of your defensemen.
Isn't it obvious he wants to play, though? He wants to play again.
Yeah.
He's not walking away from the game. He thinks he's good. By the way, I got to ask you, Christian, is there a special celebration in the household tonight? It's a clinching game. Does everybody in the family wear like purple and yellow?
No, unfortunately, my wife is born and raised here, so there's no affection for the
Lakers. So she's rooting against the Lakers like most of
us. You know what? I think she's like most people. I don't think she even knows there is a playoff game,
really?
You know, an NBA championship about to be won tonight. Nobody knows. Like you said, like nobody knows. Nobody's paying attention to it right now. I mean, everyone's getting really excited. Think they're going to get a twofer. They're going to get Lakers and Dodgers.
There's a lot of excitement. The ratings have been awful in these games. Nobody's paying attention. By the way, what a shock last night. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Adam Silver has announced that they're going to make changes, and apparently all of the messages, I thought they were for social justice, and they were willing to go out there on a limb and not affect how much revenue is coming in. They said that originally, and now apparently they're going to take all those signs down for next season.
It's a one-year thing, huh?
I think it's
just a one-year, a short year, really, yeah.
But it's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Well, why do you think they're doing it? Because the audience is down.
Well, I mean,
it's affecting their pocket.
I don't think I constantly want to get, listen, this is me. I
think they're wondering
to.
If that's affecting it. You know, I don't know if there's any proof because, you know, people always say, I don't watch it because of that. But I think they're just, I think it's a factor. I think they're just curious to see if that is.
There are numerous factors.
I think they know that it is.
But
part
the,
of it.
But aren't
it's
the players
part of it.
Association?
They have focus groups.
Well, they're going to sit there and say, I mean, Kyrie talking about it, right? If you go down the bubble, you're going to lose focus, you know, on Black Lives Matter. So now the players are going to be fine with, it only mattered this year? Like, Black Lives only matter in 2020, but in 21, when we start our season, it don't matter anymore. Like, aren't you going to have some pushback from the Players Association? Aren't they big on that?
I would think the players are going to push back on it, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, and I was surprised that he came out and actually said it. I thought that was one of those things in which you just, you know, have them disappear slowly between now and next season.
A interesting tweet here from Darren Rovell. He says, according to Nielsen, the racial composition of the NBA's audience for this year's playoffs, the same exact as last year. So the entire audience as a whole, not just a certain racial group, is tired of, I guess, the social justice messaging the NBA is having.
I do think there is some fatigue that goes with it.
I do too.
Why you would feel ashamed or nervous about admitting it. Like, I mean, nobody wants to constantly be preached to when the one thing that they go to for an outlet to not get preached to or to be shamed or for whatever it is, you just kind of want an escape. And that to me is like once in a while, fine. You know, you have these different months, but ultimately it's been a lot.
But see, I think it would be more proof. Like you're talking about the ratio is the same, right?
Yes, by races.
So
yes.
I just think it's like that's just telling you that the general public is just, I don't know, they're not watching sports like they did. It'd be more concerning if they sat there and said, yeah, you know, it's not equal. As a matter of fact, we lost 50% of our white audience or something like that.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Then they'd be like, oh, maybe they're defending some people. But it's like the fact that the ratio is the same.
Yeah, no, I've seen those
then
numbers.
I think it's just overall just viewership is down.
I've seen numbers, though, in some of the red states where the numbers there are down more significantly than they are in blue state, major cities in blue states. I think it's a combination of stuff. I think Christian's right. I think this is part of it because you hear people do say this. But also, this is a totally different season for them. There's far more competition out there. And let's face it, I think all of sports is down right now because during this pandemic, you were away from it for a while and you started developing different habits.
Yeah, and I think the habits too come into play when you're sitting there saying, you know, it's September, October, and I'm watching the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there was a big thing about, like, say, like, even horse racing, like the Preakness, right? Numbers were awful. They were down. But I don't know. I'm used to watching, like, the Preakness happened. I didn't even know it happened. You know, and I usually watch all those races, but it's like, it's October. I don't know the Preakness is on. You know what I mean? It's just like habits of just watching a Stanley Cup in September or the NBA Finals in October. It's just, it's strange.
All right, we got another hour to go. We get back into the Patriots. They are going to play as of right now at 5:05 on Monday. Question is, will Cam Newton have a chance to play? We'll see if we can get more coming up in the next hour. We'll get to your phone calls as well right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.